Thank you. We're live in the WBGO Performance Studio, and that is the opening track of a brand new record by guitarist Randy Napoleon. It's entitled Common Tones. They're going to celebrate the record live tonight and tomorrow night at Smalls in New York City, and they celebrate here this morning on WBGO. Randy Napoleon, welcome, man.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Oh, this is great. Now, we opened with, some of you may have recognized that tune, the Beach Boys' Wouldn't It Be Nice?
That's right. Well, you were talking about my mentor, Freddie Cole, and something that he always impressed upon me is a good melody is a good melody. So for me, that's the starting point for everything. And that's, you know, one of those tunes that's in our collective consciousness and our musical atmosphere, and the melody stuck with me. So, you know, as jazz musicians, we take it and we play with it and use it to express ourselves.
Sure, and you find new standards all the time, you know, because a good, like you said, like Freddie said, a good melody is a good melody.
Absolutely.
So you recreate standards from anybody's book if it's good. The challenging part might be some of the people on this record probably never heard of the Beach Boys.
They're incredibly nerdy and studious. They know everything. You hear a lot of negative things about millennials, but I'm just so impressed. I feel like the current up and coming generation of musicians, they're really passionate and they're very forward thinking, but they're also amazingly aware of all sorts of music from the past. So,
well, like yourself, I mean, playing with Freddie Cole, it was, you remember that conversation we had the day, and you said, man, he's like a GPS.
I remember, yeah. I remember. I can't believe you remember. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
You must do thousands of interviews. So,
no, but that stuck because it really described the guy and the way you said, you know, he just starts playing it. We got to know the tune and fall in. So, you know, that informs probably a lot of young people. You got to be ready. Keith Jarrett told me one time that the most experience he ever got was playing in weddings.
Wow.
You know, because you never knew who was going to come up and say, hey, do you know, and you better know it.
I know just what you mean.
Yeah,
some flexibility.
So you're off the road right now and coming here and doing a couple nights at Smalls in New York City, but is Michigan your home base now?
Michigan is my home. I'm living in East Lansing. So
is that right?
Strangely, New York is on the road for me now.
Now, do you get out at all around East Lansing?
I do. I do a lot of regional touring.
Do you know where Owosso is?
Still travel. I do. I play there, actually.
I went to junior high school.
Really? Yeah. Believe it or not, they have a jazz gig in Owosso, and I play there frequently.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Cleveland's God's country, man. You get on 75 and head north.
That's right.
You think you're in Colorado.
That's right. Yeah.
And when you're in an environment like that, it just lends itself to creativity, doesn't it?
I think it's been really a great thing. I mean, New York is irreplaceable, and this is Mecca for jazz. And there's more great musicians in New York than anywhere in the rest of the world. And I'm really glad that I got to live here for 15 years and kind of soak it up and, you know, go out and hear great musicians all the time. But there is something really beautiful about the connection to nature, and I've been practicing and writing a lot and teaching, and then I go on the road and I feel refreshed and kind of ready to get out there and do it.
And somebody in this room, I can't remember specifically who, went to Interlochen.
That's Quincy.
That's Quincy.
Quincy Davis.
Oh, it's gorgeous up there, man. Just beautiful. Quincy Davis, yeah, on the drums. And Adam Olszewski, who's actually on the recording, too.
That's right. Yeah.
You'll hear him. And Luther Allison on the piano.
Yes, sir.
Nice lineup.
I know that my friends love me because this is an early gig, Gary. When I signed up to be a jazz musician many years ago, I said, you know, this is going to be the only job in the world where I don't have to get up early in the morning. And what nobody told me is when you're on the road, you always get up early in the morning. So, you know, we've adapted. But this is deep support from my friends. So thank you, guys.
Tell me what Common Tones means to you. It's the title of your new recording, but But what does it allude to specifically?
Well, this recording in particular is, I'm kind of in the middle of my career at this point. I know I look a little bit younger, but I'm in my mid-40s. Early 40s. Woo! It's early. I'm in my early 40s. At 9 o'clock, I feel like mid-40s. But
wait till you hit 70, man.
Oh, boy. I've spent most of my career playing with musicians who are from an older generation, and that's been where I've taken most of my inspiration. And, you know, I've spent most of my life trying to match their commitment to excellence and knowledge and passion. But since I started teaching, I've also been interacting with some really amazing young new voices, and I've opened myself up to that. So this record is kind of, you know, about the similarities and kind of the continuing legacy of, you know, my teachers through me, and then continuing with my students. So that's the idea of common tones, and it's also a musical term that means shared notes between two chords. So.
But I love your attitude, man. You sound like somebody who's not afraid to look over your shoulder, right? To give you the traction to play forward.
That's right. And, you know, the youth has always been putting heat and inspiration on the scene. You know, that this is they always have been industry disruptors, you know. And actually, my guitar students are scary. I've been contemplating buying them all Nintendos for Christmas so I can keep some of my gigs, because they're getting really good.
Just yeah. To divert their attention?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We're chatting with Randy Napoli and the Quartet. Going to be playing tonight and tomorrow night at Smalls, and they're playing here this morning on Morning Jazz. It's one of the ways that we thank you for your support. Well, we were talking about it. Why don't we hear the title track, Common Tones?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We're live on Morning Jazz with guitarist Randy Napoleon and pianist Luther Allison and bassist Adam Oshevsky and drummer Quincy Davis. Thank you guys for coming down today and making Common Tone sound so special. And the thing that I dug about that tune right there, man.
Yes, sir.
Is the fact that, you know, in the year 2019, man, everybody's got chops. Right? Everybody's got chops, and
sure.
Everybody wants to spend no time without showing you how many chops they have.
I know
so
what you mean.
So it's so refreshing, man, to just let the melody move the ball up the field. Right?
I totally agree. It's the old adage of sometimes less is more. And, you know, to be truthful, I'm always kind of trying to rein myself in. Or sometimes, you know, contrast is so important because I think there's a time to play loud and there's a time to play busy. But if it's all the time, it's fatiguing.
So when you say you have to rein yourself in, does that mean that you grew up like idolizing people like Alvin Lee and Ted Nugent?
Not so much. I got right into jazz, you know, with... I was just attracted to the guitar. A friend of mine had a guitar, and I was just curious. I said, you know, can I play that? You know, and I just picked it up, and I played the first note, and I really fell in love with the instrument, and I had almost no direction. I just knew that I really wanted to play the guitar.
How old were you?
I was 13.
Wow.
So it was not a really early start. But then I was kind of, for a brief period, just into whatever I could get my hands on. But then I heard Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie and Thelonious Monk and some of that early bebop stuff. And from there, my course was set.
Sure. You remember your first gig? Of course, you must.
I do. Yeah, I do. I was 15, and actually there's a photo of it, and it's a little bit embarrassing because we were all wearing shorts with dress socks and then a shirt and tie. It was ill-advised fashion, but very exciting.
See, when I was a little kid, man, I spent time in Michigan. My sister and brother were born in Grosse Pointe, just outside of Detroit.
Okay.
And I have photos of me. The guy next door was a professional photographer. Same little outfit, man. The little shorts and the knee socks.
Yeah.
And then the plaid tie. And, oh, man, it was pitiful.
Yeah,
just
one of my friends has that photo, and he's saving it for blackmail.
He's going to hold you hostage.
Right, right.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned earlier in the hour that Randy's quite an educator, too, at Michigan State, with good company like Etienne Charles and Rodney Whitaker, among others. These are names people probably know. So it's a really nice program. You know, my father went to Michigan State.
No kidding.
On a debate scholarship.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So, you know, when I'd get in trouble.
Oh, I'll bet.
He never hit me. He would just lecture me.
Oh,
and after
no.
about 6 hours, you know, I was ready to collapse on the floor. Dad, just hit me, man. Let's get this over with. I'm tired.
he verbally made you submit.
Oh, no. It was just brutal.
Wow.
Now, how did you end up in Michigan as an educator? How did that work?
Well, I grew up in Michigan, and I got to know Rodney Whitaker when I was a teenager. He's one of my most important musical and professional mentors. So I've known him for a long time. And, you know, my son was 1 year old, and I was looking for kind of a change of lifestyle a little bit because at that time I was on the road maybe 3 weeks out of every month, and I just was you know, missing my wife and my son quite a bit. And it's a funny thing, as you've been on the scene for a while, you find yourself talking to young musicians more and more with you know, points of advice, and I really started feeling like a burning desire to teach also. So these two things, kind of changes in my life as well as I guess, you know, growing up and wanting to pass things along. So it was a pretty major career shift for me, but I was a big fan of what they were doing at that program, And when the job opened, I applied for it, and you know, I've really loved it. It's been an incredible fit, and
it's quite a scene. I mean, most people when they think of music in Michigan, they think of Ann Arbor, right? But I'll tell you, in Lansing, there's quite a scene. There's an old theater in Lansing, and I forget the name of it. Maybe you know it. And I saw Pat Metheny there one night.
Oh, wow.
Still one of the finest performances I've ever seen.
Wow.
And you can't beat that old architecture, man, because there's a warmth that comes with it that just allows the notes, common or uncommon as they may be, to just take off, man, and just resonate through the hall.
It's a beautiful situation. And, you know, Rodney and Mike Dees and Diego Rivera and Xavier Davis, these are my colleagues, and so they really attract like the best young players you can find. And you know, as a matter of fact, Luther and Adam both graduated from our program, and so I meet people that I end up collaborating with through teaching, which is amazing.
Now, was it Xavier that said to you, "Hey, man, you know my brother's got some pretty good drum chops. You should give him a call."
That's funny, actually. Quincy is one of my best friends going back to when we were teenagers. So we've known each other for a really long time, and I've gotten to know Xavier now quite a bit since moving back. So he was a little older than us, and I didn't get to know him until we both started teaching at MSU. So
we talked about Ann Arbor. We talked about Lansing and the scene there in the college. You can't get out of Michigan, man, without talking about Detroit, the Motor City.
That's right. Well, that's where I, you know, when I was a teenager, I started hitching rides into Detroit, and you know, following Rodney and many others around, and just you know, going to the gigs and trying to soak up what I could and sitting in. So, I played my first gigs in Detroit, and it's a really special place. Musically, you have the mix of like a serious bebop legacy from people like Barry Harris and Tommy Flanagan and Kenny Burrell and Hank Jones, but then you also, you know, concurrently had Motown going and you know, this incredible new sound in popular music, and a lot of the people who were on the scene when I was growing up were involved in both of those, so there wasn't really a stylistic divide. Both those things are kind of part of what I do. So
Barry Harris was here one morning and he told me, you know, he went to Northeast High.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he said, but they had jazz there too.
Wow. Right?
And he said he and another guy played two pianos for the assembly. They would get all the students and put them in the auditorium, and they would play duet pianos. I said, you and the other guy? He says, yeah. I said, well, whatever happened to the other guy? He said, well, he didn't really stick it out. Well, he sort of did. You know who the other guy was?
Who's that?
Barry Gordy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Barry
funny.
Barry Gordy and Barry Harris.
I never knew that.
Playing pianos.
Oh, man.
When they were in high school.
I'm definitely going to borrow that story. That's awesome. Well, that's Detroit in a nutshell. It's a small community in we're all pushed together, you know, and I grew up in Ann Arbor, and the scene there was a satellite of Detroit, and there were some great musicians there too. So it was really a wonderful place to come up.
And the depth of the vibe has informed one of your compositions on your new record.
That's right.
Talk about that.
This is called You've Got to Hang On. You know, I was thinking about I've been thinking a lot about the parallels between our current time and like the late 60s and kind of massive social conflict. So this was my message to myself, and it's in that style of, you know, kind of a Motown soul tune. It's called You've Got to Hang On.
Randy Napoleon, tonight and tomorrow night, you can hang out at Smalls in New York City with these guys.
Three.
Here on Morning Jazz, we're live, and there's an inspiring tune entitled You Gotta Hang On. Quincy Davis on the drums, Adam Olszewski on the bass, and leader Randy Napoleon on guitar. And that piano solo from Luther Allison, right out of a Pentecostal church around 8 Mile in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Luther Allison, thank you guys. That was great. Who needs a lyric, man?
I'm ready. Are you volunteering?
No, you don't want me right now.
It might be great.
You got to hang on.
You understand me. You know my aesthetic. You could write it.
Well, you know, and the thing is, you referenced up front, you know, in the 60s, music was literally the message.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
The music was the message. You know? Charles Erlin, Black Talk.
Yeah.
You know, a Houston person.
That's
good,
right.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
And there was wild things happening on the street.
Right.
And then they would go into the studio and make music like that.
That's right. It's so much more than notes.
Heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And tonight and tomorrow night, so much more than just notes.
I hope so.
Happening at Smalls in New York City. Same group as we have here?
Adam is actually covering for Neil Minor this morning. Neil's going to be doing the gig at Smalls. Otherwise, yeah. Same. Yeah. Yeah,
Neil probably hung over or something. No, that's not fair, Gary.
Why do you
spread rumors like that?
Yeah, right, right.
That's not fair at all.
Able to get with two of my favorite bassists on this trip. So,
well, that's it, man. And what's happening for you after this weekend?
Next weekend, I'm doing a CD release party at home in Lansing, and then the following weekend, I'm going to Chicago and doing a gig at a club called Winters there. And then first weekend of November, I've got a concert on the western part of the state in Michigan, a concert on the eastern part of the state in Michigan. So just trying to keep it rolling and get this thing going.
Not up near the Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes, is it?
It's in South Haven, not too far from there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know the area.
Oh, okay.
I know the area very well.
Yeah.
I used to go camping near Grayling.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it up there.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful, except for the damn Air Force base, you know, so it got kind of noisy from the jets touching and going. And then you cross over the border there, and, you know, you got Fudge City.
Oh, man.
Mackinac
right.
Island.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah,
it's beautiful up there.
It really is. Yeah,
and it's just the perfect setting to create a music, and create a music with a message.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice having you here this morning, man. This is just spectacular.
Oh, this is a major honor for me, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
When was the last time you talked to your buddy Freddie?
2 days ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I talk to him every week. Yeah.
Is he still out doing things?
He's invincible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, he's turning 88 actually in just a week now that I think about it. But he's still, like, if anything, it's more potent. You know, he sings a ballad and people stop breathing in the room. I mean, they just are hanging on every note. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing, just power of conviction and confidence to be soft and subtle and, you know,
those sounds,
he sings the blues.
Those sound like all tributes and assets that he's passed along to you.
Well, I will spend my whole life trying to be like that. That's for sure. I value them.
What did Donald Walden mean to you?
Donald Walden was an incredible teacher, and everyone who came out of Detroit, you know, between the 1960s and the 1990s was influenced and touched by him.
What did he play?
He played tenor saxophone, and if you haven't heard him, you don't know, but he really had a powerful and unique voice that I really can't compare to anybody else. Maybe, you know, shades of Dexter Gordon and Train, but his own stuff. And, you know, he was one of Barry Harris's students growing up.
How does he inform a guitarist?
Well, the language is the same. And he was really hip, too. He was always listening to younger musicians. You know, he was interested in what Roy Hargrove was doing and Mulgrew Miller, and so he encouraged me to kind of explore all the harmonic colors and the current music, as well as dig seriously into bebop tradition.
Sure,
and
in the decades,
he was a real no nonsense kind of guy.
In the decades as well, you got four different generations on this record.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So yeah. Common tones. You look behind you, you look in front of you, and you look way out ahead to find the answers, don't you?
Beautifully put. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the lessons learned.
That's it.
By Randy Napoleon, along with Quincy Davis on drums this morning, bassist Adam Oshevsky, and pianist Luther Allison. Thank you all for visiting WBGO.
Thanks so much, Gary. Appreciate
and
you.
And we're going to go out with a tune, coincidentally enough, that you wrote, called Lessons Learned.
Thank you. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.